Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. Have you ever thought about what you would do to protect your people? Like, what lengths would you go to when everything is falling apart?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a question that makes you really think.
It does.
So today we're diving into a world where that question is like at the forefront.
Right.
We're talking fantasy fiction with James Maxwell's Blood and Empire. This is the first book in the Gateway Saga.
Oh, nice. I've heard good things about this series.
Yes. It's really, really good. And if you want to check it out, we've got a link down in the description.
Perfect for anyone listening along.
Exactly. And while you're down there, if you like what we do here, hit that like button and subscribe.
Definitely helps other people find the show.
It does. So Blood and Empire, it throws you right into this world of like really intricate power struggles.
Oh, yeah.
You've got Queen Zwana and her people, the Veldrians. They're fighting for survival against like overwhelming odds.
That sounds intense.
It is. And then we have Bethany. She's on this journey where she's uncovering hidden truths in this society that's like built on ancient foundations.
I'm intrigued already.
It's so good. And there's so much more to it than just your typical fantasy adventure.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I bet.
It really explores these deeper themes of survival ambition and all these unforeseen consequences that come with the choices that the characters make.
Right, because every choice has a ripple effect.
Exactly.
And it's really fascinating how Maxwell sets up these two distinct worlds right from the beginning. Like you have the Veldrians, their whole kingdom is falling apart. They're forced into this mass exodus.
Right.
And then you have this seemingly stable Diamantine Empire, but even they have their own internal struggles, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And then you have Bethany just living her life in this empire, and you just get the sense that her path is going to collide with all these bigger conflicts.
But like destiny is pulling them all together.
Exactly. And today we're going to unpack all of that. Like, who are these key players? What are the tensions that are driving this story forward?
Let's do it. So let's start with this kingdom on the brink of collapse, right?
Okay.
We're immediately thrown into this scene with Queen Zwana. She's at her father's bedside. He's dying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a small, intimate setting, but yeah. You feel the weight of the world on her shoulders in that room.
Right, like everything rests on her now.
Yeah, and we're introduced to these other characters too, like Ulrich. He's the chief of the druids. Mm. He just has this presence of like ancient wisdom.
I can imagine.
And then there's this Scarface warrior, Vardin, and you instantly know that things are about to change.
Yeah, that's a powerful image.
It is. And what strikes me about this opening scene is how Maxwell establishes Zwana's strength, even in the midst of all this loss.
Right.
He does it through these subtle details, like he mentions her curved blade, how she's skilled with a bow and sword.
She's a warrior.
Yes. She's not just a queen, she's a fighter.
I like that.
And then Ulrich gives her this advice. He says, there is a time to fight and a time to flee.
Ooh, that's deep.
It is. And it really highlights the dilemma she's facing, you know?
It's not just about being brave. It's about knowing when to make a strategic retreat.
Exactly. And then there's this tension between her and Vardin. Like he's testing her sensing weakness, but she doesn't back down.
She's not going to let anyone intimidate her.
No way. Even with everything falling apart around her.
That's the mark of a true leader.
It is. And her father's last word to her is survive.
Chills.
Right. Like that one word carries so much weight.
It becomes her mission, her driving force.
It does.
Yeah.
And then we get this sudden shift in perspective.
Oh, how so?
We're taken from this intensely personal scene to the grand scale of the Diamantine Empire.
Wow.
Yeah. And we learn that it's named after this figure, Diamantus.
Interesting.
Right. And we get these glimpses of the capital city Everlast.
What's it like?
So there's the Corpus District, it sounds like, this hub of knowledge and religion. You know, they have the university, the observatory temples.
That sounds impressive.
It is. And then there's the Nexus. That's where the emperor resides. It's like the heart of imperial power.
I see. So you have this contrast between the chaos that Zwana is facing and this seemingly ordered empire.
Exactly. It makes you wonder how this empire is going to react when they come face to face with this desperate, displaced people.
Right, because the Veldrians are going to need help.
They are, and it'll be interesting to see how the Empire responds.
I'm on the edge of my seat already.
So now let's shift gears and meet Bethany.
Okay.
We first see her in Everlast. She's waiting for someone looking impatient.
Mm.
Yeah. And we learn that she knows her mother's seamstress shop, like the back of her hand.
That's sweet.
It is. It gives you this sense that she's maybe feeling a little trapped in her current life.
Like she's yearning for something more.
Yeah, and all of this is happening against the backdrop of Emperor Rigel's 10-year reign celebrations.
Oh, wow. So there's this grand celebration going on.
Yes. It's a moment of pomp and circumstance for the Empire.
I can picture it.
And during the celebration, there's all this talk about the Argent Arch and the gateways.
The gateways? What are those?
They're these ancient, mysterious structures that predate even the Diamantine Empire.
Wow. So there's like a whole history before the current empire.
There is. It suggests that there were other civilizations, maybe with advanced technology or maybe even magic.
That's so cool.
Right. And these gateways, they play a huge role in the story.
I bet.
So during the celebration, these diviners arrive and they put on this demonstration with the gateways.
What do they do?
They conjure snow from distant Kargol and smoke. It's like they're pulling things from other places through the gateways.
Whoa. That's like magic.
Yeah. It's our first real glimpse of the strange forces at work in this world.
And I bet Bethany is fascinated by this.
Oh, she is. She's totally captivated.
That makes sense.
And this fascination leads her to have an encounter with one of the diviners. She tries to help her mother with a commission for this diviner, you know, showing that she understands celestial patterns and stuff.
She's smart.
Yes. But the diviner is completely dismissive of her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It really shows the rigid social hierarchy in the empire.
Right, like because her mother is a seamstress, she's not taken seriously.
Exactly. But her mother says something really powerful. She says, "The stars belong to everyone."
I love that.
Me too. It shows that Bethany has this belief in a world where knowledge isn't limited by social class.
And it probably fuels her desire to become a diviner herself.
Definitely. Yeah. So Bethany starts secretly visiting the university library.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And there she meets this cleric named Charlton.
Okay.
And he becomes really important in her journey.
How so?
Well, she's totally absorbed by this book called The Diviner's Compendium. And Charlton sees how eager she is to learn.
Oh, that's nice.
It is. And he actually gifts her the books.
Wow, he's like a mentor to her.
He is. He encourages her to apply to the School of Divination.
I bet she's excited.
Oh, yeah. She's determined to get in.
That's great.
So with these forbidden texts in hand, Bethany heads to Speaker's Corner for the School of Divination selection.
This is it. The big day.
It is. And, of course, she's running late.
Oh, Bethany.
I know, right? And Charlton is with her?
Of course he is.
They get there. And the gate is already locked.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a major setback. And you can feel Bethany's disappointment.
Yeah, but she's crushed.
She is. But she doesn't give up.
Good for her.
And while they're waiting, they see all these other applicants. Many of them are from the Inner Territories.
So they come from wealthy, privileged families.
Yeah, which makes Bethany's situation even more challenging.
It does.
And then as they're all waiting on this platform, Bethany trips and falls.
Oh, no. Is she okay?
She's fine, but it's embarrassing.
I can imagine.
But this embarrassing moment leads to her meeting Xander Cole.
Who's that?
He's this really striking young man with brown eyes that have these flecks of gold in them.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, it feels like a significant encounter.
Like fate bringing them together.
Maybe. So the selection process begins, and it's intense.
How so?
First, you need a sponsor. Then you have to write this detailed submission about how the gateways work.
Oh, wow.
And get this, if you get two answers wrong, you're immediately eliminated.
Talk about pressure.
It is. And Bethany, she gets eliminated.
Yes.
Because the assessor claims she still had her hand on the clock when the bell rang for the end of the test.
But was that true?
It doesn't seem like it. The other applicants say she was done in time.
That's so unfair.
It is. It makes you question how fair this whole system really is.
Right. Like, is it truly based on merit or is there something else going on?
Exactly. But then there's a twist.
What happens?
Another candidate withdraws from the selection. So Bethany's given their spot.
Oh, wow. Talk about a turn of events.
Right. It's a mix of emotions for Bethany. Like, she's relieved, but also still feels the sting of that injustice.
I bet.
And she ultimately decides to accept the spot because she wants to make a better life for her mother.
Oh, that's sweet.
It is. But amidst all of this, Charlton shares some worrying news.
What is it?
Bethany's mother, Miriam, her headaches have been getting worse. And the clerics from the university have been giving her this medicine called Somnifer.
Hmm, that sounds a bit suspicious.
It does, right. And we also learn that Bethany somehow comes into possession of a diviner's cloak.
Okay, now that's interesting.
Right. It feels like these little details are going to be important later on.
They're like puzzle pieces.
Exactly.
So what's happening with Zwana and the Veldrian?
Oh, man, things have gone from bad to worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're talking a full-blown exodus. Thousands upon thousands of people fleeing their homes.
It's hard to even imagine.
It is. Their destination is unknown. They're just driven by this need to survive.
It's a desperate situation.
And Zwana's son, Garrick, He becomes this symbol of the future she's fighting for.
That's powerful.
It is. And in this truly heartbreaking moment, she orders the burning of Veldria.
What? Why would she do that?
It's a scorched earth tactic, to deny their pursuers any resources or shelter.
It's a brutal but strategic move.
Yeah, it shows how far she's willing to go to protect her people.
And it really highlights the impossible choices that leaders sometimes have to make.
It does. And then they encounter Taurean Varlish and his army.
Oh.
Yeah, Taurean's forces are overwhelming in number.
This doesn't sound good.
It's not good. He demands safe passage through Zwana's city, but she refuses.
Wow, she's standing up to him even though he has a much larger army?
She is. She's incredibly brave.
I'm impressed.
So Zwana and her advisor Maven, they go on this secret mission to scout out Taurean's camp.
What do they find?
They find something truly horrific. Bodies are being burned, and they're covered in these black marks and scales.
Oh, God, that sounds awful.
It is. They realize that there's something far more sinister going on than just a military invasion.
Like a plague or something.
Yeah, they figure out that there's this deadly contagious disease spreading from the south.
So it's not just Taurean's army they have to worry about, it's this disease.
Exactly, and it puts Zwana in this impossible position.
Right, because they can't let infected people into their group.
Yeah, it would be too risky.
So what do they do?
They make the difficult decision to head north, away from the source of the contagion.
That's probably the smartest move, but it's also heartbreaking.
It is. They're forced to leave others behind to fend for themselves.
It shows the true cost of survival.
It does.
So they head north, and where do they end up?
They reach the lands of the Grendelees.
Yeah.
And Zwana meets with Elector Khan and his council.
What happens?
Well, to secure safe passage for her people, Zwana has to agree to a terrible condition.
What is it?
She has to give them Veldrian children as hostages.
Oh, no. Including her own son.
Yes, including Garrick.
That's devastating.
It is. But it shows how far she's willing to go to ensure the survival of her people.
I can't believe she had to make that choice.
It's a testament to her leadership and her love for her son.
I guess she believes she'll be able to get him back.
She must.
So the Grendelees agree to let them pass.
They do, but the story doesn't end there.
Oh. What happens next?
After the Veldrian children are returned, Zwana decides to raid the Grendelees for supplies.
What? But why?
She says the wolves always prey upon the sheep.
So she's not just a benevolent leader.
No, she's willing to be ruthless when she has to be.
Wow, that's a whole other side to her.
It is. It shows how the fight for survival has changed her.
That's a really interesting point.
Right. Like, what does it take to lead a people through such desperate times?
It's a question that Maxwell really makes you grapple with.
He does.
Okay, so while all of this is happening, what's going on back in the Diamantine Empire?
Well, let's talk about Julian. He's Emperor Rigel's son and heir to the throne.
Okay.
And there's this vote of confirmation for him. And it's surprisingly close.
Really?
Yeah, it's 256 votes for him, 255 against. And a bunch of people didn't even show up to vote.
So his position isn't as secure as you might think.
Exactly. There's definitely some instability brewing within the empire.
I bet.
And then we meet Samara. She's this really influential figure. And it's clear that she has her own ambitions.
Like she wants to be empress herself?
Maybe.
Yeah.
She's definitely playing the game of power.
I can see that.
And Julian has this encounter with his father, Emperor Rigel, where he learns about the Veldrians.
What does Rigel think about them?
He's dismissive of them. Like they're not a real threat.
But Julian sees an opportunity.
He does. He wants to prove himself to his father. So he decides to meet with Queen Zwana.
Bold move.
It is. And he brings this whole entourage with him, Commander Bannon, Lord Revendor, Lord Mansell, Lord Harold.
He's showing up with a display of power.
Yeah, and the meeting with Zwana, it's tense from the start.
It's like two worlds colliding.
Yeah, there's this clash of cultures and expectations.
Makes sense.
Zwana tells him about the fall of Zeldria, the threat of Taurean Varlish.
I bet they're shocked.
They are. And then Maven Zwana's advisor makes this subtle threat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and Lord Manson makes a disrespectful comment, and Julian actually dismisses him.
Whoa, he's not afraid to stand up to his own people.
It's a surprising move, but it shows that he's trying to find his own way in this situation.
They like that.
Meanwhile, Bethany has started her studies at the School of Divination.
What's it like?
It's intense. They have all these classes, meditation, divination, logic, symmetry, orientation, catalog, travel. And then there's this class called Delirium.
Delirium. That doesn't sound good.
It's not. It's pretty terrifying, actually.
Oh, no.
So Bethany, she struggles with some of the more intuitive stuff, like meditation and divination.
But I bet she excels in logic and symmetry.
You know her. She even impresses Xander with her skills.
They're becoming good friends.
They are. They have these great conversations about the gateways and this ancient race called the Idar.
That's so cool.
It is. But back to Julian and Zwana.
Okay, what's happening with them?
Their negotiations are going nowhere.
Still at a standstill.
Yeah. Julian offers them land outside the Empire if they'll help fight the Janians.
What do the Veldrians say?
Zwana refuses. She wants territory within the Empire's borders.
I bet that doesn't go over well.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And to make things even more complicated, Zwana recognizes a faded map that looks just like one her father had.
So there's like a historical connection to this specific land.
Exactly. And it makes the negotiations even more tense.
I bet.
So Zwana decides that a show of strength is necessary.
Ugh. Oh, that doesn't sound good.
It's not. Things are about to get even more heated.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Now let's go back to Bethany, because she's about to face her biggest challenge yet.
Okay, what is it?
It's this delirium class. They use something called the Weaver's Breath.
What does that do?
It induces hallucinations and disorientation.
Oh, wow, that sounds intense.
It is. And Bethany, she has this near-death experience. She's like traveling through the stars.
Oh my God.
It's wild. But she manages to pull herself back by remembering her mother's words.
That's powerful.
It is. She makes it back to the Crystal Dome just in time. But other students aren't so lucky.
They don't make it back.
No, Karina and Gregor, they both fail the test.
That's tragic.
It is. It shows how dangerous this magic can be.
It does.
Meanwhile, back in Everlast, all this political maneuvering is going on.
Fill me in.
Samara, she's subtly manipulating Julian, and this guy Tristan is putting pressure on someone named Kendrick about the succession vote and something called the Fielding.
The Fielding, what's that?
It's not entirely clear yet, but it seems to be some kind of event or trial related to choosing the heir.
Oh, so it's like a test for Julian.
It could be.
And what about Bethany?
She has one final test at the School of Divination.
What is it?
She has to travel through a gateway with her mother, Mariam.
Oh, wow.
And Mariam, she's really sick, but she's determined to do this with Bethany.
Ah, oh, that's sweet.
It is. And they make it through the gateway, but it takes a lot out of Bethany.
I can imagine.
She graduates and gets assigned as the house diviner to Lord Kendrick Conway.
That's a big deal.
It is, but it means leaving the observatory and her friends.
That's bittersweet.
It is. And while all of this is happening, Julian is desperately trying to get support for his claim as heir.
How's that going?
Not great. Mm-hmm. He even ends up participating in a gladiator fight.
Really?
To prove his strength and win over the people.
Hmm. Interesting.
And he's relying more and more on Samara's advice.
I don't trust her.
I don't either. And to make matters worse, Zwana and the Veldrians are now camped on the Empire's border.
Yeah.
Julian goes to visit their camp, and the tension is thick. You can cut it with a knife.
I bet.
Zwana demands territory, and there's this implied threat behind her words.
So war is on the horizon.
It feels like it.
It's getting intense.
And then, boom, this huge revelation drops.
What is it?
Emperor Rigel is Bethany's father.
What?
I know, right? It's a total bombshell.
How is that even possible?
Well, we learned that Mariam had a relationship with Rigel in the past, and she kept Bethany's parentage a secret.
That makes sense.
And Rigel acknowledges Bethany as his daughter, and asks for her help with the diviners.
So that's why she was admitted to the school?
It all makes sense now.
Wow, what a twist.
Right, and it just adds another layer of complexity to the story.
He does.
So as you can see, this deep dive into the beginning of Blood and Empire has revealed a lot.
It has.
We've seen the struggles of Zwana and the Veldrians, the political machinations of the Diamantine Empire, and the emergence of Bethany as this key player.
And it's only the first book.
That's what's so exciting. There's so much more to come.
I can't wait to see where Maxwell takes us next.
Me neither. And for you, our listener, who wants to quickly grasp the big picture and understand the different perspectives at play.
Right.
You now have a solid foundation for understanding the world of Blood and Empire.
You're ready to dive into the rest of the series.
Exactly. So what did you think of our deep dive today?
I thought it was fascinating.
Me too. What was your favorite moment?
That's tough.
Yeah.
There were so many good ones. I think I'd have to say the revelation about Bethany's father, that was a real shocker.
It was. It completely changes the game.
It does. And it makes you wonder how it's all going to play out.
For sure. What about you, listener? What was your favorite part? Let us know in the comments below.
And be sure to share this episode with anyone who might enjoy it.
Yes. Spread the word.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Until next time.
Bye, everyone.